Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. So we've talked about food on today's show, and now we're going to taste some food that might make it onto your holiday table, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or another festive occasion. Unfortunately, it's a little hard to do that through the radio.
So I will be your proxy for this next segment. Food writer and occasional Lake Effect contributor Jeanette Hurt stopped by with a bag full of cheese that is a cut or two, or maybe 10, above that Velveeta that's sitting in the back of your fridge. Great to see you.
It's great to see you too, Mitch.
All right, so before we get to actually tasting the cheese, I want to ask you a little bit about technique, because if you go out and get a high-quality piece of cheese from a grocery store or a cheese shop, you don't want to leave pieces of it lying around your kitchen floor or falling off the dining room table. So what's the best way to start getting it into smaller pieces?
Well, the first thing you want to do with a really good cheese, especially like an aged cheddar, let it warm up to room temperature. One of the reasons cheese was invented was to prevent the spoiling of milk or to use the milk. So it's okay to bring it up to room temperature, and you're not going to die, and you're not going to suffer cheese poisoning of any kind. So bring it up to room temperature. That's the first thing. The second thing, and our listeners cannot see me holding up my two tools here, is to use a proper cheese knife. The one that I am using right here looks a little bit like a mini cleaver.
Right, it's like a teeny meat cleaver.
Tiny, teeny meat cleaver, but it's just for cheese. It's actually designed for cheese, and it's for harder cheeses that you want to slice or cut off hunks. But you also don't want to, as you said, leave the crumbles all over the place, especially for the cheddar that we have today, which is Hook's 15-year cheddar. It's at least $50 a pound. Hard to come by, and I remember the first time I was cutting off such hunks from such a cheese, and I figured the dog got $15 worth of crumbs on the floor.
And then the other knife you have there?
This is another cheese, and if you notice, there's a little fork prong at the end where you can pick up cheese.
Okay.
This is fine for cheeses that are a little bit softer. And you can spread it, but you can also use it for semi-hard and not quite as hard as, you know, a 15-year-old cheddar. The cheeses we have today, lovely Emmy Roth, the Grand Cru Sirchois, that took the best in show. It was crowned World Cheese Champion this year. It's a lovely cheese. It's Gruyere style. It's made by a Swiss family that goes back five generations. Cheese making in Switzerland. They decided they wanted to make cheese in America, and they came, of course, to the best place to make it in America, which is Wisconsin. The other cheese we have today is Chandoka. It's a partnership from LeClaire Farms with Standard Market. It's the cave-aged Chandoka. Now, Katie Hedrich, who is the cheesemaker at LeClaire, wowed the cheese world a couple years ago when she was crowned U.S. cheese champion with her Evalon. Chandoka is a cave-aged cheese, and it's a blend of cow and goat milk.
And so the cheese experts don't have a problem with blending two different milks.
Well, you have to really understand milk chemistry, because the fat content, the protein content, and all of the different enzymes in the different milks behave differently. You just have to know how to blend them. And it's happening, I think, more in Wisconsin than other places in the country. At least that's my observation.
Are we just more innovative?
I think we are more innovative. And I think what most people don't know about Wisconsin is, besides producing the most cheese, we also produce the most goat's milk and most cheese milk and most goat's milk and cheese milk cheeses, not just cow's milk, although, of course, cows take up a lot of our dairy in this state and make wonderful, wonderful cheeses just from cow's milk. But we also have these other dairy animals grazing, and they make great cheeses too. The last cheese, it's good you brought up goats, because this is my favorite blue blended cheese. It's by Hook's. And the name, and as you can, I can't.
The one with a beautiful logo.
The logo of a sheep, a cow, and a goat. It's You Calf to Be Kidding Me. And it's a blue cheese, and it's wonderful, and it's also great for the holidays.
All right, so before I start salivating, we should try these. Where are we going to start?
I would start with the Chandoka.
Okay.
Yes, the right there, the one you're pointing to.
Yes. Wow, that's really nice.
It's nice. It's pungent, but not too pungent.
Right. There's something that that I think for people who might just be interested in expanding their cheese horizons, if you will, talk about the significance of why you would want something that is pungent.
Well, especially in Wisconsin, if you are drinking something stronger, if you are drinking a stronger wine or a stronger beer, you want your cheese to be able to stand up to it and not get lost. I think the Chandoka would, it's got smoky notes.
Mm-hmm.
So some sort of smoky wine or a rich, deep stout would probably go well with it.
All right.
We'll try the Grand Cru.
Hold on. I'm going to cleanse the palate here with, this is probably not an authorized beverage to cleanse the palate, but.
Well, you can pair coffee with cheese. There have actually been coffee and cheese pairing classes.
Really?
At the American Cheese Society.
Sign me up. All right, so this is the Grand Cru.
Yes, the white one.
This is the world champion. And I have to say, I've been curious to try this since hearing that it became the world champion. And I believe we had them on the air.
They're fantastic. And their executive chef actually is featured in my new book.
All right, it is not difficult to understand why this is a world champion.
It's really easy to eat.
Yeah.
It also is great for, of course, making a winter fondue, mm-hmm. Gruyere, combine it with Bruce Workman's Emmentaler, and then if you can get a little bit of the Little Mountain, that would also make a really tasty Wisconsin Swiss-style fondue.
Or a very expensive grilled cheese sandwich.
Yes, yes. And why should you just use the cheapest cheddar you can buy for your grilled cheese?
I feel like if you had just the right kind of crusty bread.
Oh, yeah.
This would be terrific.
Now, normally we finish with a blue cheese, but I think because the 15-year cheddar is so special, we'll finish with that. But we will start with the You Have to Be Kidding Me. I think it's probably one of the best-named cheeses out there. Probably second to that, there's Vampire Cheese Curds, which are made not in Wisconsin. I don't remember where, but the name Vampire Cheese Curds because, of course, they have garlic.
They would be good to have with blood sausage,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that creamy?
It really is. Practically melting in my mouth.
It's wonderful. And you could add a little bit of that to your grilled cheese sandwich.
Absolutely.
You can also add it to salads. One of my favorite salads made locally at Outpost, and I've learned how to make it at home, they have a maple vinaigrette, which compared with blue cheese and some dried fruit, either cherries or cranberries over spinach, with some, perhaps a few red peppers or red onion. Absolutely
fantastic.
I would
think that would be delicious. I feel like you were 3 for 3 with these cheeses that you brought along.
All right. Well, we've got the last one for you.
All right.
Can you see why this is so sought after?
It's interesting. It's one of those, and we're eating, this is the 15-year aged cheddar.
From Hook's.
And it's interesting, you know, you kind of ask yourself, can I tell the difference between a pretty good food and a really good food, like a pretty good steak and a really well-done steak? And with this?
Blows you away.
Yes, it really does.
Tony and Julie Hook do not enter this in any competitions because they don't produce it in vast quantities. And it takes a lot of time and money to age it for 15 years. The other thing Tony told me when I interviewed him for my first cheese book, The Cheeses of Wisconsin, a Culinary Travel Guide, is that as a cheesemaker, you have to know which cheeses will age out well. Because usually if there are problems in a cheese, they will show up the longer you age
right.
it. Some cheeses are okay. They're not great. But if you eat them fresh, they're fine. But as you age them, that's when the problems would come. So you have to know where the milk came from. And Tony will pick which farms he wants which milks to be used for. He knows all of his suppliers that well that, you know, I will use this for a blue cheese or I will use this for an earlier cheddar or I'll use this one for cheese curds.
Is there a little crunch in there?
There is. Those are the little calcium crystallization that happens with age. And I don't think that's the technical term, but it just is so wonderful. It's crunchy,
gosh.
And it's one of those that you taste and you can savor, and the aroma stays in your mouth long after you've taken a bite. It's one of those you really have to savor.
I'm glad you saved this for last.
I thought it was worth saving.
Well, Jeanette Hurt, unlike the cheese, I feel very spoiled now. Thank you so much for bringing in these great cheeses, and hope to see you again soon.
Definitely.
Jeanette Hurt is a Milwaukee-based food writer. Her books include The Cheeses of Wisconsin and her latest, Drink Like a Woman. You can find out how to win a copy of that one at WUWM.com.
That's also where you can find a link to more about a couple of pop-up dinners Jeanette will host at Great Lakes Distillery with Chef Anna Docta in early December.